Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Karyopharm Therapeutics, we had the pleasure of speaking with David Miller, MD, about the long-term follow-up of the subgroup analysis of the Phase 3 SIENDO trial investigating selinexor maintenance therapy in patients with TP53 wild-type advanced or recurrent endometrial cancer. Dr. Miller is a professor and chief of the Division of Gynecologic Oncology in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, as well as the Amy and Vernon R. Falconer Distinguished Chair in Gynecologic Oncology at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School in Dallas. He is also the medical director of the UT Southwestern Harold C. Simmons Cancer Center. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Miller discussed unmet needs in the endometrial cancer treatment paradigm that led to the initiation of SIENDO, key updated efficacy findings from the subgroup analysis in patients with TP53 wild-type disease, and what the future for selinexor development may look like in this patient population.
Can you elaborate on the mechanism of action of selinexor?
Well, selinexor inhibits export, which is involved in exporting a variety of tumor suppressor genes out of the nucleus of the cell. And so we think that when selinexor is working, that it keeps these tumor suppressor genes in the nucleus of the cell and presumably active, which leads to hopefully cell death, particularly of tumor cells. And in this case, for endometrial cancer, we're particularly interested in P53 because that is a factor in many endometrial cancers.
What was the rationale for investigating this agent as maintenance therapy for patients with TP53 wild-type disease?
Well, this is the effect of selinexor in terms of exportin is a sort of tumor-agnostic effect. I believe it's already approved in multiple myeloma and some lymphomas. And so prior studies have shown an activity of selinexor in endometrial cancer, some early phase 1, phase 2 trials, and thus it's further investigation. Its use as a maintenance therapy, I guess, would probably be similar to what we've seen in other gynecologic cancers, particularly with our PARP inhibitors, where it does not necessarily combine with our usual cytotoxic chemotherapies. And is much easier to give as a single agent by itself. And presumably that was the basis of using it as maintenance therapy after a response to chemotherapy.
And so then what were some unmet needs for patients with TP53 wild-type endometrial cancer that the SIENDO trial sought to address?
Well, what I can talk to is that what we are hopeful about, which we are hopeful that particularly in our group of endometrial cancers that are what we call mismatch repair proficient. There, if you go back to the TCGA in endometrial cancer, that's the group of patients that we call no specific molecular profile. That's a group of patients where the results with immune therapy are much more modest. And so we would expect that, or we would like to see another agent that might fill in that gap in this P53 wild type group of patients. And thus, we are hopeful for selinexor and look for the results of the export trial.
So then, what was the design of the SIENDO trial?
Well, the design of the SIENDO trial, it was a maintenance trial. So it was for patients with advanced recurrent endometrial cancer, mainly endometrioid endometrial cancers, I believe clear cell and carcinosarcomas were to be excluded. Those patients were then treated with platinum-based chemotherapy. Those patients who had a partial or complete response to that chemotherapy were then eligible for maintenance therapy with selinexor. So patients were then randomized 2-to-1 to be treated either with selinexor at a dose of 80 milligrams a week or placebo. Unfortunately, or disappointingly, I guess fortunately we got the results, but disappointingly, there was not a significant advantage in the overall intent to treat population. However, in the subgroup analysis of patients who were P53 wild type, there did appear to be an advantage for the selinexor treatment. And thus, that is the basis of the hopefully confirmatory trial, the EXPORT trial.
And so then what were some of the efficacy data from the subgroup analysis that were presented at the 2024 ASCO annual meeting?
We did see several advantages. Most importantly is that overall there was an advantage for selinexor in the overall P53 wild type population. And when you drill down further in the mismatch repair proficient patients, there is an even a more significant advantage for the patients treated with selinexor over placebo. Recall that overall in Dr. Mocker's presentation in the wild type, overall wild type subgroup of patients, the progression-free survival was about 28 months for the selinexor treated patients versus 5 months in the placebo with a hazard ratio of 0.44 or a 56% reduction in progression-free survival. And so when we broke that down by mismatch repair status in the proficient group of patients, the advantage appeared to be even greater with a hazard ratio of 0.36, thus a 64% reduction in the risk of progression. With a median progression-free survival of 39 months in the selinexor patients versus 5 months in the placebo patients. Now, in the mismatch repair deficient patients, the difference was much more modest with a hazard ratio of 0.49, a 51% reduction in progression-free survival. That difference was not quite significant, but that still resulted in median progression-free survival of 13 months in the selinexor patients and 4 months in the placebo patients.
What is the safety profile of selinexor?
Well, it was pretty well tolerated, but it did require a certain amount of management. The leading overall nausea, vomiting was probably the leading toxicities. The leading grade 3 toxicities were neutropenia, thrombocytopenia, and nausea. Dose reduction was required in about 80% of patients, so it did require that we pay attention to it. And about 17-20% of patients had to have therapy discontinued due to toxicity.
Overall, based on these data and, you know, upcoming data that are still to come, how might selinexor fit into the broader treatment paradigm for patients with TP53 wild-type endometrial cancer?
We're hopeful that this could become incorporated into frontline therapy for patients who are TP53 wild-type. There's no specific molecular profile group from the TCGA. And the mismatch repair proficient group of patients. We would expect that patients who are mismatch repair deficient, we would be depending on the chemotherapy followed by immune therapy. In the P53 mutated patients, we would be looking at HER2 and where we could perhaps then use chemotherapy with one of the HER2 type agents. And so, again, it's in this mismatch repair proficient P53 wild type of group patients where we are hopeful that this will make a difference.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Karyopharm Therapeutics. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with the leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclife.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.